Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is 8:09. Thank you both. Monday morning, October 3rd, we're joined by New Orleans City Council member Joe Geruso. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
A little bit upset after yesterday's Saints game?
Oh, what a bummer. That was such a hard game to watch.
Hard game to watch. Have you ever looked at goalposts from 60 yards away on a football field?
I have an imagination of how long it must look. I haven't actually been on the field itself to see, but I can only imagine what's be going through their mind and trying to make something that long.
The only thing I can tell you is those uprights get narrower and narrower as you back off, too. That's something else. But I saw improvement, so I'm encouraged, but I know it's all about the W's and the L's. Any improvement in the situation with the relationship between the council and the mayor?
I think our job is to keep on trying to keep the lines of communication open. And this is what I tell people all the time. My job is not to fight with the mayor just to have a fight. Mm-hmm. My job is to try and make sure that we're doing the best things for the city that are possible. And if we can agree on those things, great. And for example, right now, I know one place we're trying to push very hard on together is trying to add more civilians to NOPD. I'm actually going to bypass some procedural steps for this council meeting to let them hire a couple of new positions to help facilitate that. And so my hope is we can keep and continue focusing on the areas where we agree as opposed to the places where everybody feels like there's fighting going on.
What would civilianization, hire employees, what does that look like? What are they going to do?
So there's two different things. One is NOPD is looking to hire at sort of more senior levels this chief operating officer that they've sort of had before. And then also, I think, a position to really help oversee all the civilians. And then NOPD is looking to add, I think, Tommy, about 75 new civilians to help with a bunch of different things, to help with data analysis, to help with property crimes. Our hope is either using civilians either directly inside the department or outside to help with accident writing. That's something that solely falls on the shoulders of NOPD right now. And again, everything in our view is, given the fact that we know that we're down with personnel for commissioned officers, what can we do to beef them up in every other way so NOPD doesn't necessarily have to be the first responder?
Whenever I've had an accident in Orleans Parish, a vehicular accident, or known somebody that has, rarely does a police officer make the determination of who gets a ticket. It seems like they always leave it up to the city attorney. So that being the case, it would seem like you would maybe want somebody that let me put it this way, Joe, that is a complete and total waste of an officer's time to write up a report on a traffic accident.
We don't think it's a good use of an officer's time, and I would use the word wasteful, too.
Yeah.
I think the other issue, too, though, is, and I'm part of this group, so it's the lawyers, too.
Right.
They get sensitive because police reports can be admitted to evidence. So how do you get this new type of report admitted to see what's going on if there's a lawsuit? But all of that, to me, can be solved. It's just a question of how do you make sure it all works for everybody. And right now, we have this issue that we have to take care of, period.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back, 8:13. Tommy Tucker talking to Councilman Joe Geruso. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along when we come back. It's a beautiful October day. Get out and enjoy it if you can. We'll be back in a flash on WWL. 8:17 now, Monday morning. Going to have a beautiful week of weather ahead. If you can get out and enjoy it, go ahead. A little bit cooler by the weekend. Joe Geruso is our guest, New Orleans City Council members. Gilbert Montano tells a local television station, and he's going to ask the mayor, the CAO of the city, to pay back the travel expenses. She says that she flew first class because she was worried about her security. Yet video emerges of her staying at the Pontalpa apartment, apparently walking unencumbered in the French Quarter, which, unfortunately, the city is the murder capital of the United States, and she doesn't fear for her safety then, but she does when she's on a plane. It makes no sense to me. Are the plans still the same, that the city council is going to look at adjusting her salary if she doesn't pay that money back?
So the direct answer to your question is yes. Councilmember Moreno wrote a letter to the administration giving them a November 1 deadline to figure out what they want to do. So we're waiting to hear back from them about how they want to handle that. And another thing, Tommy, now is you have the city attorney who has opined that the mayor is an employee of the city. So give her credit for coming out and writing something that everybody who doesn't even have a law degree knows to be the case. Mm-hmm. And now the CAO, who, as you just said, the number two essentially person in all of City Hall, says the money is owed too. So I think now with having two of the mayor's chief lieutenants saying these things and the council pushing, give the mayor a month to figure out how they want to do this. And look, the other thing too is, without sort of digging up old news from the past, there is a precedent for repaying something that's been lost. When we've had another issue where somebody damaged city property, and then that had to be repaid over time. So there is a way to do this that makes the city whole and that allows a person to pay it back.
Could part of this be maybe done behind the scenes, where, you know, if she doesn't have $30,000 cash to pay the city back, where you work out some kind of payment plan? I guess that would have to be made public, or what, Joe? How would you work that out?
I mean, look, I think all the conversations, you want to try and make all the options available. To me, it seems like there's a number of different sources that can pay for this. Mm-hmm. But if it came down to getting on a payment plan, then let's get on a payment plan, determine what it is, figure it out, and then tell people what it is publicly. I guess I'm sort of surprised by how much people sometimes want to keep in-house. And I understand the importance sometimes of negotiating or embargoing information for a limited period of time. But for something like this, where now the public is acutely interested, where the council has spoken, where the CAO, the city attorney have courageously spoken, then let's just discuss how it's going to be paid back, and hopefully the mayor makes that choice on her own without the council having to intervene.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I'm concerned $30,000, while a lot of money, and why the mayor would dig her heels in the sand, that is a lot of money, but not compared to the Wisner Trust. And that's what I want to talk to you about when we come back, because, you know, maybe you get people worried about one thing that's very easy to understand in terms of travel expenses, and they're not paying attention to things that are kind of hard to understand, like the Wisner Trust, that involves a lot more money. The council thoroughly understands it, and we'll talk about that when we come back with Joe Geruso, 504-260-187. If you have any questions or comments, 8:21 and a half, that's time for traffic on WWL. Coming up on 8:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Councilman Joe Geruso. Joe, I don't mean to keep saying the same thing over and over, but the public, there are some things that the public can understand quickly and has the time and patience for, others not so much. If it involves a tablet and a flow chart, maybe they don't have the patience for that. And when it comes to the $300,000 $30,000 the mayor owes for travel, that's pretty understandable. When it comes to this Wisner Trust, not so much, and that's a lot more than $30,000. Let me ask you one question first, because somebody texted in about Mayor Landrieu as opposed to Mayor Cantrell. Would it be accurate to say that the inaction taken by Landrieu was passive as it relates to the Wisner Trust being dissolved, while the action taken by Mayor Cantrell was active?
Yes, and here is the chief reason why. Even though the trust was supposed to expire in either August or September of 2014, there were no steps taken by the Landrieu administration to extend it. The big difference here is in 2020, the mayor entered into a new agreement, fancy term, ratification agreement. But really all that means is it's an extension of the trust forever and ever in perpetuity that was not allowed to be entered into. So big difference in my view between allowing it to continue and trying to use the money versus signing an agreement that says in perpetuity everything is stuck in place. So that to me makes it significantly different.
We only have 90 seconds left. How much of a slush fund is the Wisner Trust when it comes to the mayor? How much accountability is there? Can some forensic accountant go back, or accountants, and figure what was spent where? Where did this money go? Why was that going there? Who approved this? Who approved that?
I think there's a couple of different things. One is the judge has ordered the parties to provide all the spending that's happened in the last 8 years, so we should be getting that. Number two, another difference between the last two administrations is the last one did all of this publicly in 2020. This became all private, so you didn't know where any of it was supposed to go. And then number three, Tommy, to me it's not just about the annual amount of money. It's that we're entitled to 100% of this pie. So rather than getting 40% of maybe $10 million per year, not only are we entitled to the whole $10 million, but also all of the 38,000 acres, Port Fouchon, the whole enchilada. So we want to make sure we get all those things.
Which is a lot more complex and a lot more valuable than $30,000, and I think you get my point. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your time. I really do. And your efforts, sir. Have a good weekend. What am I talking about? It's Monday.
Care.
Good weekend. No.
I'll have a good weekend later on.
Yes. No. You got a full work week ahead. Do you work and then have a good weekend? Thank you. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about a nursing shortage right now. 8:30 time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.